To most seems like it's far, far away, but the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do, we can do today.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel الحمد لله Once again, we say marhaba and we welcome you into today's silsila. And today's topic of discussion is pertaining to the agonies and pains of death. But before commencing the discussion, let us listen to a hadith pertaining to the blessings and virtues of reciting durood and salawat upon Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Mustafa. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be the person who recites durood and salawat upon me in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, as in each and every silsila, before the silsilas are commenced, we always emphasize on the importance of making a good intention. And also one has to bear in mind that the more good intentions that a Muslim makes is the more blessings and rewards that one will obtain from the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. And also remember that all deeds and actions are judged based upon the intention which the deeds are carried out upon. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that innamal a'malu binniyat, that actions are judged based upon the intention. Therefore, let us make some good intentions that inshaAllah azza wa jal, I will do my level best to watch this silsila from the beginning to the end, only and only for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Another good intention that we can all make is that, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, whatever I learn from today's silsila, I will do my level best to convey its message to the others. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has beautifully stated that, بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, that convey my message, even if it is only one verse. And the Prophet, and also another important aspect is that we can make a good intention that inshaAllah, whenever the name of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is being mentioned, I will reply by saying Azza wa Jal. And whenever the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being mentioned, I will reply by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and dear Madani Channel, after listening to the virtues of reciting durood and salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also after listening to the great importance of making a good intention, let us now inshallah enter into our topic of discussion today. Inshallah azza wa jal, today's topic of discussion is pertaining to the agonies and pains of death. In the previous silsilas, I mentioned a narration of a hadith that inshaAllah into today's silsila, I would like to narrate the same narration, whereby it is stated that the one who passes through the stage can feel its severity. Meaning a person who goes through the pains of death, only he can understand the true severeness, the true pains and agonies of going through this process of death. And also, if a deceased person is to come out from his grave and tell the people of this world the state and pain of death, the peace and comfort of their life would get destroyed. Allahu Akbar. It is stated that Sayyidina Shaddad bin Aus radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that for a believer, there is nothing more dreadful than death in this world and in the year after, as its pain is severe than being cut open by a sword, cut by a scissor, and boiled in pots. If a deceased person comes out of his grave and tells the people about death, people could not obtain any benefit, nor could they sleep peacefully. In the previous silsilas as well, I narrated this particular narration in order for you to understand the agonies and the pains that a person goes through at the time of Sakarat. So if a person is in a presence of a person that is going through the pain of Sakarat, that it is stated that when you see the signs of death, when you see the signs that a person is dying, when there are clear signs that the person is about to die, then those that are present in the house should, there are some sunan and adab, there are some manners and ways and things that we should do. There is a particular way that we should conduct ourselves. And the first thing is that once you see that the signs of death are imminent on a person, once you see that the ruh of the sick person is about to come out from his body, once you see that the person is about to depart from this world, then there are some steps that you must take. And the first step is that you must turn him towards his right side and also turn his face towards the Qibla, as this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. A basic principle. The reality is, dear listeners and viewers of Ramadan channel, at times a person is in this state and condition of sakarat, then those that are present in the house, at times in the house, there is not even a single person that knows the sunnah manners, the sunan and adab, the sunnah ways of how to conduct oneself in such situations and conditions. You know, those that live in an environment whereby the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are taught and practiced, subhanallah, when they reach the stage of their life, when they reach the stage of sakarat, you'll find that at times, in state of the people that are present, telling them around, they rather at times advise those that are present to turn them around. Why? And why? Because they live their entire lives following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a beautiful story that I wish to share with the viewers of Ramadan channel. And this qissa and story that I wish to share with the viewers of Ramadan channel, it is a story regarding one of the great personalities in this beautiful mahal of Dawah Islami, Hajj Mushtaq. Whereby it is stated that when he reached that critical stages of his illness, Allahu Akbar, when he realized, subhanallah, when he realized and saw that he was now reaching the stage of sakarat, when he realized that he was nearby and close to the end of his life, he requested those that were present in the house, and he requested them that, please, tilt me and turn me towards the direction of the Qibla. Allahu Akbar. Why and why? Because he lived his entire life following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived his life in this beautiful mahal of Dawat Islami. That is why even at the final moment of his life, subhanallah, you'll find that even there and then, he still wanted to follow the sunan and adab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because once you make it your daily routine, it becomes part and parcel of your own life. It becomes a lifestyle of even your family members. And subhanallah, you'll find that each and every step that you take in your life, becomes in accordance to the sunan and adab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why you'll find the Sahaba ikram, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they followed each and every step of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They tried to imitate each and every movement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To such an extent that in some narrations, it has been stated that Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this narration shows us the importance of following the sunan and adab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby it is stated that Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after completing his wudu, subhanallah, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people saw him smiling and people inquired from him that, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, why are you smiling? You stood at a certain place and there was a broad smile on your face. And Uthmani Ghani replied and said that, I smiled in this spot. I smiled standing on this place because I saw my Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling and standing on the same place, subhanallah. Meaning the Sahaba ikram, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Salafus Salihin, they tried their level best to follow each and every sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes when the sunnah of how to conduct yourself, how to bury a deceased person, sometimes we regard this as minor things. But the reality is that if we follow each step according to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have wanted us to conduct ourselves, by doing so, you'll find that subhanallah, we shall create an environment whereby the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon that person. We shall create a particular environment whereby subhanallah, you shall see the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon that place. And also, you shall realize that subhanallah, the deceased person will also be at ease. You shall see the barakah of following the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Majid that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Those that obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have not achieved an ordinary success, but rather they have achieved great success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the success that is referred to is success in this world and success in the akhirah as well. And then subhanallah, look at this beautiful story, this incident of Haji Mushtaq rahmatullahi alayhi. An incident and a story that truly portrays that if you live your life following the sunnah and adab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even there and then, at the time of Sakaratul Maut, towards Sakaratul Maut, there and then whereby a person realizes that they are now about to reach the final moments of their life, subhanallah, you still find that at the back of their minds, they still want to follow the adab and sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the people, when they reach that final moments of their lives, you'll find that the statements that they utter at times are statements of kufr. But subhanallah, look at this incident of Haji Mushtaq, subhanallah, a person who was close to the mahal of Dawat Islami, that subhanallah, even at the final moment of their lives, they still remember the sunan and adab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They still remember how to conduct oneself even under such circumstances and conditions. You know, I want to bring back another incident. You know, for the listeners and viewers of other channel, I want to narrate another incident that highlights the importance of a person who lives his life obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in this final moment of their lives, they shall still be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They shall still be in the obedience of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They shall still be in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why am I? Because dhikrullah is part of their lifestyle. Rasigiri Amiri Ahl Sunnah, the leader of Dawat Islami. There is a beautiful incident whereby it is stated that when Amiri Ahl Sunnah was critically ill, after an operation or before an operation was to be conducted on him, Amiri Ahl Sunnah, even in that situation whereby an operation is about to be carried out, at the back of the mind of Amir Ahl Sunnah, one thing stood up, and that one thing was Salah, Salah, Salah. What shall happen to my Salah? What shall happen to my Salah? And it is stated that Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnah, he informed those that were up to operate on him. He requested them that as to if they could perform the operation towards the later part of the night, or if they could operate him in the night. Why and why so that he should not miss any obligatory salahs during the day. SubhanAllah. Look at that mindset, SubhanAllah. Look at the way of thinking of Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnah. That although in that state whereby he is about to be operated on, but SubhanAllah, at the back of his mind, he is still considering his salah. And it is stated that after they operated on him, when Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnah awakened, one of the first questions that he asked was, did I miss my Fajr Salah? Allahu Akbar. Dear listeners, at there is a statement for each and every one of us to ponder upon. Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnah, when he comes back into the state of consciousness, the first question, one of the first questions that he inquires about is that, did I miss my Salah? How many of us have this type of thinking? How many of us have this way of thinking whereby we have that fikr, we have that thought pertaining to our salah? How many of our salahs go and we miss the salah based on unnecessary questions? Have we forgotten that after one of the first questions that we have to answer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that أَوَّلُ مَا يُسْعَلُ أَنْهُ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the first question that the abundance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be questioned regarding on the day of Qiyamah is as-salah, as-salah. It's pertaining to salah. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ, if your salah was in order, then everything else shall be in order. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ, and if your salah was not in order, if you're a person that neglected the salah, then everything else that shall come after shall also be in trouble in the court of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear listeners and dear subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnah teaches us a great lesson in this particular incident. The incident that I narrated of Haji Mushtaq is a story of great awareness for each and every one of us today. That subhanallah, even in the why and why, because they live their entire lives in the obedience of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the condition of health, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the state of illness, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their entire lives were based upon the remembrance of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why even at the time, the final moments of their life, even at the time whereby their ruh, Haji Mushtaq's ruh, was about to come out, when he realized that his ruh was about to come out, subhanallah, he says to all the people that are present that, please tilt me and turn me towards the direction of the Qibla. So among the sunan and adab of how to conduct oneself when a person is in a place whereby a person is his ruh or her ruh is about to come out, the first thing that one should do is that you should turn the sick person towards the Qibla. You should turn them onto the right side and face them towards the Qibla. Why and why? Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second step that one should do is that make talqeen. When a dying person recite loudly beside him, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. But remember, when you are reciting talqeen in a loud voice, do not force the person that is in sakarat to recite it with you. Why am I? Because sometimes you'll find in some of the families that we become desperate. And what is the cause of our desperation? The cause of desperation is the fact that We want to make sure that the last words that a person recites is kalima shahada. We want to make sure that the person recites the talqeen, he recites the shahada before he passes away. Therefore, we become impatient to such an extent that at times you'll find people sitting next to the ill person and forcing him or her to recite the kalima. And because of this pressure that we put on them, at times they reject the message of Islam. Because remember, when a person is going through these pains and pangs of death, when a person is going through these pains of death, when a person is going through the pains of sakarat, only they understand the true pains of it. Only they truly understand what they are going through. When I commence the silsila, I mentioned the narration whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that if a person that has passed away, if they have to come back and inform us regarding the pains and pangs of death, then we shall never enjoy the luxuries of this world. We shall never sleep in peace. Therefore, this is for all of us, dear listeners and dear subhanahu wa, to ponder upon. As family members, when we have a family member that is critically ill, when we have a family member whom we can see that the signs of death are clearly visible on him or her, so those that are next to the person that is going through this stage of whereby their ruh and they are in the final moments of their lives, they should recite talqeen in a loud voice so that the person that is ill can also be able to recite. And also, remember that if a person that is in the final moments of their lives, once they recite the shahada, once they recite the talqeen, and once again, if that person that is in that state and condition, if they talk once again, if they may mention some worldly thing, if they may say something in between after having recited the talqeen, then those that are present should once again recite the talqeen in a loud voice. And another important aspect to remember as well is that talqeen should be made by a pious person, because the presence of a pious person brings the barakah and mercy of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, and this is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that at every place whereby when the presence of a pious person brings the barakah, it brings the blessings, it brings the mercy and the rahmah of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, in a Muslim community, when a person is about to reach the final moments of their lives, the most pious person in that particular community, he should be one reciting the talqeen. And also, another important aspect to remember is the fact that those that are present, it is very good for them that they should recite Surah Yasin near a person that is in this state, subhanAllah. Meaning, when a person in this state, those that are around him should recite the Quran Majid. They should recite Surah Yasin in a loud voice. Why? Because when a person hears all these recitations, it is a form of giving him hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a form of a reminder for him about the existence of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a form of a reminder to him that his Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall be there for him. It is a reminder that he is here today, and he was here for a short duration of time, and now it is moment for him to return back to his creator, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important aspect that is mustahab is that the place where the person is being put in, the person that is facing the final moment of his life, that particular area or that particular place, some fragrance in a form of luban or any form of fragrance should be placed in that particular area. And in some of the homes, you'll find that they have pictures of human beings that are hanging on the walls. In some of the homes, people have their own pictures that they hang onto the walls and so forth. So according to the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a place whereby there are dogs that are kept, that particular place is derived from the mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That place is derived from the malaika of mercy. Therefore, if in that particular house there is pictures that are hanging onto the walls, then the pictures should be removed from the walls. And also, if there is a dog that is present in that particular yard, if there is a dog that is present in that yard, then the dog should be removed from that particular place. Why and why? Because the angels of mercy do not visit places whereby these things are present. And these are very important things that each and every one of us should ponder upon. The Muslims that have these pictures that are hanging onto their walls, at times it's not even pictures of themselves, but rather at times it is pictures of celebrities, it is pictures of people that we idolize and so forth. Remember that these pictures, they deprive you from the angels of mercy. They deprive you from receiving the angels of the Rahmah of the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person passes away, one of the things that the people in the house can do is that when you see that his ruh has come out, those that are present in the house should take a piece of cloth and tie it from the jaw to the head. And by tying it from the jaw to the head, it saves the person from his mouth being left open. And another aspect, another thing that should also be done is that those that are present in the house should close the eyes of the person whose ruh has already come out. And another aspect, important thing that we should do is that his fingers, arms and legs should be straightened up. And also in some of the sunan and ways of doing it is that the legs can be tied together. This helps whereby when his body becomes cold, then you'll find that these body parts are straight and looking in that particular manner. Dear listeners and viewers of Adam Channel, these are some of the sunan and adab that a person can do when seeing a person that his ruh has already come out. And remember, all of these practices, tying a piece of cloth from the chin to the head, closing the eyes, straightening the legs, all of this should be done in a gentle manner. Why should it be done in a gentle manner? Why and why? Because the deceased people, although they might not be able to talk to us, but they feel the pain in the same manner that we feel the pain. May the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq and ability to learn this sunan and adab, so that when time comes whereby a family member of ours passes away, we know how to conduct ourselves. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
To most seems like it's far, far away, but the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do today.